better listen very carefully.
A good martial artist does not become tense, but ready.
Essentially, at this point, the fight is over.
So you pretty much flow with the goal.
Who is worthy to be trusted with the secret to limitless power?
I am ready.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another Bulletproof for BJJ podcast. I am JT, and I'm here with Joseph, the natural Worthington.
Ah, that's right, fam. Not natty for long, though.
Get that TRT.
JT's fucking slowly making the transition over to the dark side.
That's not true.
You know, man.
That's not true.
Everyone's T levels decline.
Yeah, no, that's not
medically
true.
Administered.
Actually, I'm having to get enhanced estrogen levels to help balance my testosterone levels out. Soy milk straight to the veins. No. Here's the thing. We all do get older. This is something we cannot fight. But some of us are doing it better. Some of us are doing it worse because the real cost of jiu-jitsu is it ages your body. It is accelerating the aging process.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that we can't escape. But why do we do it? Why do we come to jiu-jitsu later in life? Oh, it revitalizes the spirit. It makes you feel alive, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't know. Maybe you don't have the inclination to choke a person. I do. So it satisfies that need.
Probably not listen to this show if you don't have that inclination.
Or maybe you like to be choked. No, I think it's one of those things that it doesn't matter where you are at in your life. We do in some ways crave challenge. That's why there's marathons and there's, you know, people go, oh, man, I'm doing a boxing match. You know, I'm 45 years old. I never trained boxing. I'm doing a corporate boxing thing. I'm doing a boot camp. I'm going to fight because it's exciting. It gets your life going. But the thing that we have to talk about is that jiu-jitsu is aging us. It's deteriorating. It's accelerating. It's the opposite of Benjamin Button. You get someone who came into jiu-jitsu, you get them 5 years in and they're just like, I've got six skills, but I can't bend over properly and put my shoes on. But I'll wreck you. I take that bet any day of the week. So let's talk about this because it ages our bodies, but it revitalizes our spirit. You're in your 30s, maybe you're in your early 40s. You found jiu-jitsu and you got the bug.
I say even for early, like younger, younger recruits, same thing. Like you might just be fucking around, not doing that much, you know, whatever, like just drinking on the weekends, having fun. And then you find jiu-jitsu and you're like, scrapping 4 nights a week. Like,
this is me.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it is, isn't it? It for a lot of people, it's this kind of, I don't know, staged kind of fighting that you get to partake in a few times a week that's like lit.
Yeah.
You're like, holy shit. Like, unbelievable that this is going on. Yeah.
Yeah.
What is that? Like, drill in on that for me.
I think for most people, we lack intensity. So a part of the reason why lots of young men get into video games, you get to simulate war. You get to simulate ripping someone's head off. You get to shoot your friends in the head and then be like, ha, gotcha. But then they get up, they respawn, they shoot you back, right? So we get to simulate like zombie movies, like, oh, whoa, they cut the zombie's head off with a chainsaw. Ugh. There's all this primal shit that exists in our DNA that we just don't touch, right? But then you come to jiu-jitsu and you're like, oh, man, someone's trying to kill me. And they're not trying to kill you, but they're trying to choke you, right? That's as close as someone gets to
Your nervous system pretty much only like sees it as they're trying to kill you.
Yeah, it's a mortal threat. So it's like, fuck, they're trying to kill me. Well, I better fight back. And actually, I remember this one scene. It was from a pretty bad Bigo comedy in the 90s. But there's a guy who's trying to jump off a building and they're trying to negotiate. And this guy gets up there and starts a fight with him. And he tries to push him off and then the guy fights back because the guy's trying to fight him. He's like, fuck you, I'm not going to jump off this building, I'm going to fight you. And that enables him to get him off the roof from killing himself. And I think that's really – that was a very interesting shift, that if someone threatens your life, you're less likely to want to – you know, your instincts, all that, you know, thousands of years of evolution has taught you to fight back. And if someone tries to choke you, you're like, I'm not having this. And if they're successful, you're like, well – it's not going to happen again, you know. And it's funny how this taps into something that's very hard for us to articulate because it's back here. It's in our lizard brain. It goes deeper than language. It goes deeper than everything, which is the need to survive. And then also the next human quality, which is the need to go like conquer or dominate. And so it's so interesting because you get these people who are like, maybe they're like a very quiet, introverted, you know, account manager at a, some kind of a firm. Mate, you put them in no gi.
Like a real job.
Yeah. Man, they're gonna rubber guard the shit out of you. You know, you're gonna get hit with the electric chair or the vaporizer, you know, and they're just destroying knees. So how did you get this mild-mannered person and then they just turn into this savage in this context?
It's Fight Club, isn't it?
It's Fight Club.
It's people find this thing and their lives are, you know, like, no offense to us.
No.
But it's like, you know, your life is whatever, and then you find this thing that's like allows you to just connect with like this, I don't know what it is. It's like this, you know, in Fight Club where it's like they're getting the shit beat out of them and then they're like up and they're like screaming in relief. Yeah, and like hugging each other with teeth hanging out and shit.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of a real like a caricature of what it is that we're trying to get at.
Man, I had a Fight Club experience just yesterday.
You're not meant to talk about it.
Oh, shit. But it's BJJ, so I can talk about it. Okay. No. I went in and I ordered a coffee. It was the only place that was open. And it's just like a trucky cafe type thing. But they had pretty good coffee. And the guy on the coffee machine was like, hey, you train? I'm like, yeah, man. Where you train? Oh, yeah? How long you train for? And then we had this little exchange. He's like, yeah, man, I'm over here. I train. What belt are you? I'm like, black belt. He's like, oh, man, I'm a blue belt. Fuck, where do you train at? And it was like, it was honestly a 2-minute exchange. I got that coffee for free.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was like, my boy. He was just like, yeah, respect. He just
did you get him on that like and subscribe train or what?
Hey, bro, he didn't know it was me. He's into Bulletproof.
He didn't know it was me.
Come on. I looked different. I didn't have my hat on. I wasn't in character. You know.
Yeah.
But no, it was nice, bro. It was definitely a Fight Club moment where you see another person cauliflower. It's like, yo. They know.
Yeah.
Like, because to go through that whole experience of draining your ears, the pain, everything, it's unless you've been through it, you just can't speak to it.
Yeah.
But let's talk cauliflower ears. Let's talk broken jaws, occipital cavities, missing teeth, torn ligaments. Let's talk cartilage damage, right? Because even though it's awesome and it makes you feel alive, this is the thing. And I'm not doing this because I'm trying to throw shade on jiu-jitsu. I'm saying that it is going to accelerate your aging in terms of disabling you. And what I have found recently is I have been feeling far more athletic and far freer in my body, even though I'm overloading my body with weights, because no one is yanking on my joints. You know, no one is accelerating the – we were talking about gi the other – we were just talking about this before.
Yeah, we did some gi training on Saturday.
And how sore does it make your fingers? Like, yeah,
bro. It's autumn here in Sydney.
Yeah.
It's cold.
It's getting colder.
Morning class upstairs. Yeah, it's pretty cold and dry. And just like those first few rounds, man, just like the hands, I'm like, this fucking hurts.
Mm.
I mean, I'm like putting Johnny in a bow and arrow choke. And, you know, I'm choking the dude. But all I can think about is like, oh, my fingers fucking choke this wrist.
How dare you, Johnny, hurt my fingers as yeah. I choke you.
Fuck you, Johnny. But yeah, but whereas like, I mean, the no-gi thing, you know, no-gi has its own discomfort, but the fingers and the wrist, there's much less of that.
Yeah.
Just this, the gripping thing is a lot more comfortable.
You don't get the gi grazes.
Yeah.
You know? And if you look at the fingers of a hard-worn jiu-jitsu person, that you can tell.
Yeah.
You can see those.
They're like lollipop fingers with these big calluses.
Inflamed joints. But that's the cost. That is the cost if you really dedicate yourself to something. But I think we can look at many things like this. Like we can look at just work. Like look at anyone who's done something hard for 10 years.
Yeah, like a brickie or something.
Could be a brickie, but even an office worker, someone who's done those.
Their body carries different scars.
14-hour days.
Rounded upper back, forward shoulders.
Yeah, and they might be doing well financially.
Computer fingers.
But you look at them and they're like, you're like, dang, you really gave your body, you gave yourself and your health to this thing. I mean, you can see it in work. You can see it in someone who parties. We all know that person who went real hard in their 20s and you don't see them for a couple of years, maybe seen their Facebook post and you're like, dang, they're in Ibiza again? Like, don't you have a wife? Like, what are you doing? You know, whatever the situation. And then you see him maybe like a high school reunion or you bump into him down the street and, you know, they're 31, but they look like they're 51.
Yeah.
You're like, bro, fake tan doesn't look good on you. What are you doing? Like,
those veneers look nice though.
No. You know, it's full on.
You used to see it a lot with, they're less common now, but like, you don't see as many people smoking.
Sure.
But I remember like when it was more common to smoke.
Sure.
The friends, I mean, I smoked back in the day, but the people who kept smoking for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Look older. Like it would age their face.
The lines around the mouth, a bit sunken in the eyes.
Yeah.
It's quite intense, guys. And jiu-jitsu is doing this also, but we can't see it because we have the heroin kick of rolling. That's why everyone wants to roll. I don't want to do warm-ups. You know, I don't want to do lifting. I don't get the satisfaction out of it. I get this even from people who know the benefit of lifting and all the other stuff. And they're like, yeah, I just want to roll. Just want that free feeling of just doing the dance, which is where it feels awesome. But this is where it gets kind of unsustainable. You know, I used to be quite a reckless driver as a young man.
Oh.
And I had my license suspended many a time. And they do this thing, they trap, this is in Australia, I don't know how this works in America, where they go, look, we're going to suspend your license.
The or, other country in the world.
No, but I'm saying for our American listeners, because I don't know how the system works there.
What about our European listeners and shit?
But they're probably
African
not,
listeners?
They're probably not driving as recklessly as this. They're probably more.
Yeah, they're a bit more balanced over there in Europe.
Maybe, I don't know. I mean, I don't know, I've seen the driving in Poland, it's different. But no, the reason why I say this is... they do this thing where they bait you. They're like, we could suspend your license or we'll give you 1 point for a year. It appears you're a reckless driver who makes bad decisions. We'll give you one chance. But if you lose that point, we're taking it off you for a year or 2 years.
Oh, it doubles, I believe. Yeah.
If you eat this suspension for 3 or 6 months, the delayed satisfaction, you can have all your points back. Or like you can have your license back or we can give you 1 point. It's like, fuck, I need my car. I'll take the 1 point, you know, like, and then invariably being the irresponsible person you are, you lose that and then, you know, your license is gone for more than a year, whatever. I had that happen to me twice while on my P's, my provisional license, you know, fucking such an idiot, right? And the lucky thing about that is it didn't damage my body. But we're doing similar stuff with our bodies when we do jiu-jitsu. You know, you go to the surgeon, surgeon's like, maybe you need surgery or something. But I've still got one ligament left, don't I? You do, but I would recommend that you actually probably stop. Don't use that one ligament. I got one ligament left. I'm good. Like I can roll, baby. Like the amount of times that, and I've done something similar where I'm like, I can't walk and I can't stand upright. I could play guard.
Yeah,
I'll
be good once I warm up.
Yeah, once I'm warm, the blood's flowing, right? Because it's such an addictive thing, this feeling of jiu-jitsu. But we really can't see it in ourselves or how it's fucking us up. But you do see it in, and we see it in our peers, jiu-jitsu black belts who dedicated their lives to the game 10 years, 15 years. And even though, you know, they're young in spirit, they are old in body.
They're a fucking mess, a lot of them.
Right. And so that's really tough. I mean, we're very fortunate. We've spent our lives pretty much living in the gym and being around people who just nerd out over eating the right stuff and getting enough sleep. And life isn't really like that. You got kids, you got a job, you're trying to fit in jiu-jitsu. It's overstacked. You put a knee injury in there or you put a neck injury in there, life gets dramatically harder.
So here's a sort of question / thought that is a conversation I had with my mum recently.
Okay.
My dad just had a double knee replacement.
Oof.
Right. So he had a bike out, like a scooter accident when he was like early 20s.
Right.
He's in his mid 70s now. So he fucked his leg and kind of wrecked his knee doing that. And then he's worked physically his whole life, ran his own business.
Active guy.
Active guy, right? He's also classically of that generation, doesn't really look after himself, does the minimal amount of exercise. He's pretty good with it, but you know, never went to physios, wouldn't get a massage.
Don't go to a doctor.
Yeah, none of that shit, right? So, you know, he's got his like probably more than fair share of like battle damage. You know, his arthritis here and fucking the bad knees and, you know, whatever, back issues in the past. And so in any case, mum was talking about it and she's like, oh, fuck, you know, talking about how he's – Mum, in contrast, is she worked with dad. It's also quite a physical life, but she's actually never really had any like physical health issues.
Wow.
Like, yeah, like mechanically, she's in really good shape. And I was talking to mum about it and she was sort of talking about how dad seems to have had more than his fair share of things. And I said, yeah, look, I get that, you know, the damage and whatnot, the wear and tear. But the other thing you got to look at is like if dad never had a physical life and avoided all of those things that have given him said damage.
Sure.
He's still going to be damaged in other ways. Yes. And I strongly believe that, right? Like if you just avoid physical contact and you avoid, you know, whatever, the things that give you those little bumps and bruises along the path of your life, then, you know, like maybe using that sort of corporate example where it's like you just sit at the desk and you play a bit of squash and that's kind of it.
Yep.
You know, your back gets all fucked up, your neck, your head goes forward, you get these. So that's always been my belief. But mum was like, well, what about like these three people who are like friends of the family? And she's like, they never do anything. Yep. They've never really played much sport. They've always kind of been pretty gentle. Sure. And they're all in really good shape. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I felt like they don't have knee problems, don't have back problems. And I'm like, interesting, because what she said kind of flies in the face of my philosophical belief.
Sure.
Which is that you got to cop a little bit of damage
yep.
in order to avoid the big damage down the track.
Sure.
This is not so much jiu-jitsu specific. This is kind of like philosophically on life.
We're trying to talk bigger than jiu-jitsu right now because consequences on the mat. If someone pops a ligament in your ankle when you're rolling, you can keep going. Like, you didn't tap to the ankle lock and you spin out and the adrenaline's kicking. You just keep going. But when you can't walk properly and you have to carry stuff or do, you know, chase your kids or whatever, that's when the consequences really hit. Not in jiu-jitsu. You can do jiu-jitsu in a pretty banged up state.
Yeah.
Once the adrenaline's kicking, you can do it. So Frank Barker, shout out. He said to me, this comes from his father, which was wear out or rust out. It's up to you. You use it or it deteriorates on you anyway. So it's like better to use it. But actually, you know, it's a bit linear. It does appeal to my black and white sensibilities. you know, all or nothing. But yep. really, it, in truth.
Is it a rest round or is it not a rest round? That's what I want to know.
Is there a medium round? I don't know. Can you just be whelmed? Anyway, don't worry about that. If you don't get that reference, that's okay. Here's the thing. I believe there is a middle path. Like, can you be enjoy the benefits of jiu-jitsu and also not throw your body to the fire, sign the contract with the devil
to
just give away your health. I believe there is a halfway point, but striking a balance is hard, and no one tells you that when you get into jiu-jitsu. No one actually says, hey man, like if you're willing to commit your body to a combat sport, and even though I know other combat sports laugh at us jiu-jitsu folks because we're not getting punched in the face, almost no boxers I know have.
Not a lot of 50-year-olds taking up MMA.
No. Right? And if they are, look out. They're like Armenian and killed people. Oh, dang, ex-military. Don't mess with that guy. Peace, love, respect. Don't kill me. Here's the thing. It's so hard because your coach won't tell you, hey, just go halfway on this. Just show up sometimes.
Yeah.
Coach won't tell you that. And also your friends won't tell you that because they're all drug addicts. They're always like, yo, fucking Sunday, there's an open mat, bro. Are you coming? What's wrong with you? Like, the thing is we have this stoic pride. That's the thing, this whole idea of going hard and being injured in the name of something greater than us, martial arts, our ancestral history. Yeah, but it's like at the end of the day when your knee's fucked and you're on the couch and you can't walk, everyone else is just getting on with their lives. You're the one with the disability.
Yeah.
You will have to wear that pain the rest of your life. Like, oh, it's okay. I'll just get surgery and they'll just take out a bit more of my meniscus and a bit more of my meniscus until I don't have any left. And then it's just cartilage on cartilage and that wears down and it's bone on bone and you're dealing with pain that painkillers will never get rid of. So
it's a bit dramatic.
Nah, but I mean, let's just – come on, trying to get
– JT loves taking it right to that end point.
Yeah, and so the reason why I'm saying this is –
it's a reality.
It's brutal because I see it in my father too, right? Yep. He's got that stoic kind of stiff upper lip, old man, white man, English dude, don't express your feelings type shit where like he bulged a disc in his back and he couldn't walk and he had all this – he thought he had a leg injury because he had like sciatic pain and pain in his foot. And like there's two feelings I get from this. My mum called me and said, your dad, he's injured. Fuck. This was like last year. And he's in so much pain. He's, you know, my dad doesn't cry or he doesn't, he just keeps it all inside, but he was aching. So I got in the car, I drove up from Sydney, I went up to the Blue Mountains. Anyway, I got there and he was dragging himself along the ground like Terminator 2.
Pumping those Quaaludes again.
Nah, bro, he was trying to get to the toilet. My mum's trying to help. He's like, don't help me. Just dragging because he couldn't barely use his legs. And I said, I had two feelings. I looked at him and I was like, respect. This is some fucking hardcore shit. This is like amazing. But also I was like, you fucking idiot. I was like, I'll carry you, mate. Like, I'm strong enough to pick you up and carry you. He's like, no, I'll do it myself. Like, anyway, he ended up getting cortisone shot in the back and it settled down. It was okay. The problem is he thinks he got away with it. Because 2 weeks after that moment where he couldn't walk to go to the toilet, we're at dinner, he's feeling better, he's done a bit of rehab. He hasn't continued it. He's just done enough.
Yep.
And then he's like, you know what? The roof needs retiling. And I was like, shut the fuck up. You can't be serious. You're 80 years old, bro. You're not going to retile the roof. I'm not going to retile the roof. But it's this pride that we have that, you know, part of his identity is that he is a mechanic. He's a engineer. He's a doer. He's a DIY king. Part of our identity is we're martial artists. We're jiu-jitsu folks. Yeah, just keep going.
Yeah.
You know, like because we've given ourselves so long to this thing. If you're early in the journey and you've suddenly fallen in love with this contemptuous mistress that is jiu-jitsu, if you allow it, jiu-jitsu will suck the life out of you even though you feel amazing. But it doesn't mean that you can't have a good, healthy relationship with jiu-jitsu and not give it your everything. You can give it enough to get it a bit out of it, but you are going to have to do some stuff to slow down that aging process. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, a thought on this thing. You know, I think we look at elite performers in any, like in any kind of form of athletic endeavor, right?
Sure.
And imagine that they feel great. Like, fuck, man, imagine waking up as Usain Bolt.
Yeah.
You just wake up, fucking spring out of bed
I'm
and
the
just
fastest man in the
just
world.
Just ripping. Yeah, you know. Or, I don't know, you know, with fucking strong, even like powerlifters and shit, you know, maybe not powerlifters, but Olympic lifters, you know, specimens, whatever. I remember reading a book on sports performance years ago and it was talking with Steve Monaghetti.
Yeah, sure.
Who was one of the best long distance runners from Australia in the 90s, 80s, 90s.
Very famous from Australia, yeah.
Probably won a gold medal or some shit.
Or many.
But he was like, you know, considered like one of the fittest guys ever, right? Like, you know, world champion kind of marathon runner. And he said, it's funny, you know, like people, when I talk to people, they comment on how I must wake up feeling great and healthy and fit every day. And he's like, it's far from that. I wake up sore and beat down and then I put my running shoes on and go train.
Mm.
And it's, and there is a, we have an ideal of life and then there is the reality, which is like for anyone that's actually kind of pushing it a bit physically, it's hard. Like it's like when you wake up the day after an evening jiu-jitsu class, you're sore.
Sore.
Maybe your knee aches a little bit. Maybe your back's a bit stiff, you know, like your neck's a bit crook. So something that I kind of bounce around in my head is like, should I actually not be waking up feeling like that? Should, you know, like you were saying, right? Like you haven't been training as much jiu-jitsu lately and you're feeling pretty good, you know, or is it the case that life is a little bit, you know, there is that little bit of pain that's sprinkled in there.
Oh, I think it's in there a lot. I think existence is suffering on different levels, whether it be physical or psychological. You know, that's life. The longer you live, the more people die. The longer you live, the more damage you take. You know, I'm not getting into the Rocky speech here. It's not about how hard you roll. It's how hard you can get submitted and keep training. Now, it's not that. It's along the lines of, if you do jiu-jitsu, you are someone who has the means and the time and the leisure to do jiu-jitsu. It is a great thing. But what you're probably not accounting for is a serious injury will hit you at some point in the journey.
So, be that one acute big thing or you accumulate enough damage that something really becomes a problem.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's not factored in.
Well, it's not spoken about.
The unspoken. So once you get that real serious injury or two or three or whatever it is, you still want to do the thing. You've fallen in love with a thing. You still want to be part of the community. You still want to hang with your friends. You still want to be there.
You still want that identity.
Yeah, you still want that identity. Yeah.
And you're so fucking close to that purple belt, man.
Shit. Come on. <Yeah. laughs> I came to the grading out of broken arm.
I got two meniscuses.
Yeah, God. So here's the thing. It's really important to understand that that's a choice and that you are if you continue on without addressing those things that are hurting your body, like if you're not doing enough to strengthen your knees or you're not doing a certain amount of maintenance to correct your posture, ultimately you will have to bear the pain of being in hospital under the knife, surgery, or like
painkillers. So, or
yeah, so it's like the difference between people, even though jiu-jitsu people will make fun of people go to the gym and lift weights, like, oh, meatheads, what are they doing? They're probably less likely, like some of those guys.
Do they? Still?
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, it's an intellectual snobbery. Like, they don't know how to fight. You know, I know how to fight. I do jiu-jitsu as well. You know how to do jiu-jitsu. It's a separate thing. But I think we all do this in the same way. Probably guys in the gym like, yeah, those weak jiu-jitsu guys crawling around on the ground. Like, what are they doing? Whatever. We all have our biases, right? But what's funny is then when you meet somebody who does jiu-jitsu and also does lifting, it's like, well, dangerous combination. And we think that that's the exception when actually that should be the rule. So my analogy is always comes back to cars, even though the body is obviously far more complicated than like a piece of machine. We know people who even usually need a lot of time and money. They'll take a wrecked car and they'll restore it. They'll take a car from the 70s and, you know, do the body work and the engine. And you're like, wow, it's beautiful. And it's you see it and you're like, wow, you really put time and energy in this thing to make it great.
You really polished that turd.
And you made it a glorified turd. No, but the thing is also like as someone who's trashed cars and someone who now has a car which isn't like the best car, but I'm trying to look after it. You can tell the difference between someone who looks after their car and someone who doesn't. And Joe Worthington, you have had the same car for a long time and you've looked after it. It's yeah. been a very great car.
True.
I admire it.
I look after all my possessions.
You do?
Actually, yeah.
And that's something that you do as a rule, as a person, right?
Yeah.
And I say when I look at that van, it looks almost as young as the day I first met it. When I first met Joe, he had kettlebells in the back and he gave me a lift down in Bondi. And I was like, oh, this is cool. I should get me one of these. And it still has so much good function to this day, right?
Yep.
Your body isn't as simple as just being like, oh, take a wheel off, put a new carburetor, or oh, don't worry about that, we'll just fix that. It's not that simple. When you have surgery, it's very rare your body is as good thereafter. It might be almost as good, but you are kind of taking losses as you go. So if you could prevent these, still enjoy the function of this beautiful car, but not thrash it, that would be a good idea, right? Because, you know, only young people tend to thrash things because they don't appreciate the real cost.
Yeah.
You know, and we've all been there. So it's like you are now, you know, in your 30s, in your 40s, you're hearing this. You know better. This is the insight. This is the true insight. If you can get into the habit of really doing a few more things to look after your beautiful rig right now, you will not suffer as much. It's not to say you'll be immune to all injury.
Yeah, and you'll be able to do it for a much longer period of time.
Yeah.
And I think that's the key one, isn't it? That it's like often if you start jiu-jitsu at a younger age, that is like pretty much anywhere up until your kind of 30s, let's say. Mm. It's never a consideration about like, oh, do I still want to be doing this in 20 years or 10 years? It's just like now. And speaking from experience, you just go fucking hard because you can.
Yes.
And then, you know, you start to cross a bit of a threshold at some point, maybe in your 30s, where you're like, maybe I need to kind of reconsider how I engage with this. Mm. I feel the people, those, you know, we're talking about like some of our black belt friends, they're the ones who refuse to acknowledge that threshold.
Yes.
And they're like, no, I still fucking bang like I did when I was 27.
Yeah.
And you're like, but you can't because you're all fucked up. Look at you.
Yeah.
You know, like you're broken. You're full of painkillers and fucking, you know, whatever. Yeah. Like you had to have surgery the other day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's like.
But that's just pride and ego. We talk about humility. We talk about humility in jiu-jitsu, but that's pure pride.
Yeah.
That's not accepting limitation. That's being like.
I also see it as like a really immature view on things.
True.
And it's kind of this idea of like, it's all about my jiu-jitsu. And you're like, no, jiu-jitsu is a thing. It's a skill set. It's a martial art. But you also have to acknowledge like you can't just do more jiu-jitsu and expect to be able to keep on that path. You have to do the other shit.
Yeah, definitely. And so, and this is not to be inherently negative. This is just to say, wherever you are in your jiu-jitsu journey, if you don't have a process for restoring your body, inevitably you are wearing yourself down. And so what does that mean? Does that mean you are ending catastrophic failure? No, not necessarily. But what it might mean is you might have to stop doing the thing you love. That sucks, man. We don't want that to be the case. We don't want people retiring to injury when actually all you need is just to do a few relatively simple things, but you just got to factor it in, which means you can stay connected to this beautiful thing, which is jiu-jitsu. So I think really at the heart of it is it's not as extreme as like, oh, it's going to kill you, but know that you are accelerating the aging process. So how do we stay in the game? Factor in looking after your body. That's what I'd say.
Yeah, take responsibility for that.
If you love the game, you want to stay in the game, we got to do that little bit extra.
Boss, boss.
Nice.
Thanks, fam. Hey, guys, if you need help with your training outside of the mats, the stuff that is going to keep you strong and keep you flexible and build a body that is really as prepared as possible for the rigors of this game, go to bulletproof@bjj.com and take a free trial of our program. You will find a strength and flexibility program that suits you. And if you stick to this shit, you too will become bulletproof for BJJ.
Yes, sir.
See you next week.